Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Tuesday, and I'm on top of it. Trust me, I'm on top of it somewhere. It may not be balanced, but I'm there. Anyways, today we are talking about the brilliance of overcoming your obstacles. And listen, if you're alive, you've got an obstacle. Trust me. With the trends in fertility that are today, even way back when everything started, you know, there's no guarantee about birth, about conceiving, about all that. We're overcoming obstacles daily. So here's the thing that I wanted to start out with. For instance, hold on just a second. For instance, as far as obstacles are concerned, when it comes to, you know, living our lives, coming up to things that we want to do, coming up with things that we need to do, there's always going to be something that just sort of gets in the way. It may not be intentional. It might be intentional. It could be all manner of things. But they're obstacles to us because it seems like it makes our path a little bit more difficult. But as I said on the description, it is pointless to allow obstacles to stop our journey. There's so many people who had obstacles that have helped us progress in life. Think about people like Harriet Tubman, who just refused to allow people to stop seeking their freedom, even though they were African Americans or slaves in a country that, you know, constantly sought to murder them, take advantage of them, and in just the most horrendous ways. But Harriet Tubman was so hard on for what she wanted to do for these people that, as many people probably already know, she actually had a gun, and she would threaten to shoot any of the slaves who thought the difficult was too difficult. And they thought, well, I'm not going to go on. So, yeah, Harriet said, yes, you are, because she risked her life every single day for those people to reach freedom. And she helped a nation move forward just as much as people like Lincoln or any of the other abolitionists or people with sympathetic thoughts and hearts and spirits did to help bring about a nation that was better than that. We have other people such as Martin Luther King Jr. You cannot think of the speech, "I have a dream," without thinking about what it means and what it meant to what he was trying to say, which we have been trying to achieve. Even still, we are still trying to achieve, and that's reaching equality in this nation that could be so much greater than it is. It is a great nation, but our capabilities are much greater than we're always, or let me just say that we currently exude. I think we can be better, just like I know I can be better. So you need to consider these journeys that these people, Rosa Parks, Bobby Kennedy, Eleanor Roosevelt, these people who were always looking to bring about equality and better human rights and conditions for people that were in situations not necessarily as good or possibly better than themselves. I really want to read to you, I am going to read to you a speech by somebody that I admire so intensely and I absolutely adore. And it's not just because of what he did for this nation to try to sew together this civil divide amongst Americans back in the 1800s, but also just the fact I admire and adore him for the weight of everything that was pressuring him. And for in the midst of that, in the midst of personal tragedy, President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, continued to push against the obstacles that were horrendously in front of him. So I'm going to try to read this without getting too emotional, but the reality is these concepts still touch my heart because it's about empowering and loving ourselves, all of us. And this is what President Lincoln basically said in 1863 at the Gettysburg Address, where that horrific battle took place. He said, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. I don't know how anyone who lives in this country cannot be touched by that. I don't care where your allegiance lies. You have to stop and think about the fact that America was born of people who refused to lay down to the tyranny of inequality from their birthplace in Europe. And they came here to believe in that fact that all men were created equal. So, huge obstacle. If you're in America, if you are born in America, your whole existence here, all how it is to this day, has everything to do with that frame of thinking that was all the way back to Lincoln, a huge obstacle where so many people hated him because he was going to take away their livelihood, born on the backs of people that were treated like trash. So, listen, at the expense of his life, the obstacle has been surmounted and continues to be surmounted by the way people act in this day and age, sadly, deal with this need to create inequalities in a nation where, quite frankly, there's not much that could make you different from another person. Your abilities are your abilities, and they don't have anything to do with the color of your skin or whether you are male or female or what particular sexual orientation you subscribe to or whether you're Army or Navy, whether you played jacks or you played kickball. You know what I mean? You can always find a reason to divide you from others. And that whole concept of an obstacle is what will eat away at you no matter what you're doing in life. So to me, I know it seems like it's awfully, you know, it might seem a little bit shifted to you as far as what I'm saying about obstacles, but this is a huge, huge aspect of how we are in our personal lives. When we look at the great beings that went before us and who took on the most horrific obstacles that one can encounter, whole nations, whole countries, you know, your lives, just different racial backgrounds, people have just, they've overcome these obstacles, or they continue to try to overcome those obstacles, and we must move there for ourselves. So when you think about that, and then you think about the obstacle of maybe there's this girl that you like, and you think that she is the cat's meow and should be your wife for the rest of your life, but maybe you think you know, your teeth work ain't great. Maybe you think you need to have perfect grill before she's going to love you or pay attention to you. I suggest that you can get beyond that obstacle, even if you never get any dental work done, because most obstacles that are in front of us have a big element with the foundation of our minds, how we see it. There's all kinds of people that people look at as couples and they think, how is it that she's with him? Or why would he be with a girl like that? I mean, people are always asking that kind of stuff. I asked my grandmother on my mom's side, my maternal grandmother, I asked her once, how did you and Daddy Joe get together? And one of the reasons I asked that is because my grandmother was a really fast-talking person. You couldn't get a word in edgewise, it seemed like. And she was a bit of a nagger. I love you, Mom Marina, but that's kind of how you came across. And Daddy Joe, my grandfather, he was a very quiet man. He almost said nearly two words and maybe three when we go to visit. A lot of the time when I was a kid and I would go visit my grandparents, I would just sit in my grandfather's lap while he smoked his cigarette and watched his TV and maybe did a little bit of alcohol. I couldn't tell you what kind it was. It might have been bourbon. It might not have been. I'll have to check with his daughter about that, but I can't remember. But eventually, my grandmother would come in there and start nagging for us to get out of his room with him. I mean, it wasn't his bedroom. It was just a separate little room off the side of the house that my grandfather was allowed to smoke in. My grandmother, who also smoked, she just always sort of made comments about my grandfather. But the point I was trying to make was this. You know, the obstacles that we put into our head are the hardest ones to break down. So there are steps that you can use to push yourself forward, whatever the obstacle that, you know, befalls you. For instance, talk about some of the obstacles that I've had over the last few years. My journey that has brought me to where I am today started, maybe much further back, but I'll start at the assault. When I was, it was about a month before 9/11. So I can't, every time 9/11 anniversary rolls around, basically it rolls around to when I was brutally attacked on my job, and I drove the city bus, and the nut that attacked me tried choking me and all kinds of things as a bus driver, and it set up a quite a bit of fear in my being, so to speak. So with that came the fear of all kinds of things. But mostly it became a big obstacle for me going back to work. It became a big obstacle for me on what to do with my life. At the time, I was planning to move out of state and be with the love of my life, my best friend. And I couldn't even, I actually had put my notice in at work, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't move to another state because I could barely get out of my place anymore. It was terrifying. And so that fear was put in me, and it was a huge obstacle. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I will just say it right now. It's a son of a bitch to deal with. I don't care who you are, whether you come back from being deployed in Iraq or Afghanistan or anywhere else in the world, anywhere where you've had to see any kind of military action where people are killed, if you were part of the tsunami in Thailand and in that area, the horrific things that you saw was just, this wasn't war, it was weather, earthquakes in Haiti and Hurricane Sandy, Katrina. These are all really huge things that affect us, and it's because of the immense trauma that it causes, and it leads to oftentimes really great fear. And that's a huge obstacle that everybody doesn't see, which makes the obstacle even bigger, because when people think that you have a problem because they can see your broken leg or your broken arm or something like that, they're more readily able to assist you. At least that's what they will do. But when it comes to obstacles that people don't see, possibly have ADHD or you've got autism spectrum and people don't know that, then here comes some obstacles your direction. But we have to combat that obstacle first within our mind. The next thing that happened to me after I started dealing with the PTSD, I saw a counselor. There was one point I was seeing a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a licensed social worker, and I was going to a workout place, a complex that had a counselor. She was, I believe, a psychologist. She might have been a licensed social worker who was trying to deal with even how I dealt with food, because coming off PTSD, the first thing I did was I didn't eat. I went almost a month. I dropped quite a bit of weight, and then I started eating, and then the weight started to really come on. But the way it manifests, It can cause all kinds of obstacles in your life. I know people who have come back from war, and they're still trying to deal with it. They still haven't gone back to work in a regular position, or they're still having issues when they deal with the family, and the family's still trying to figure out how to deal with them. So one of the things that you can do with obstacles is honor your feelings about them. You know, whether you're angry or you're hurt or you're upset, I think that when it comes to an emotional or mental issue of this nature, if you don't honor exactly what that obstacle is trying to present to you, then it's hard for you to get around it because you're sort of ignoring it as if it doesn't really exist. There's a quote by, this person's name is Tiffany Madison, and she said, "Never trust someone that claims they care nothing of what society thinks of them. Instead of conquering obstacles, they simply pretend they don't exist." And that doesn't really help you when it comes to obstacles. You need to know what you're dealing with. I don't think anybody who's ever dealt with war in their country or with another country, I don't think that they can really exist from the point, they can really deal with the obstacle from the point of view that they just sort of sit there and say, there's no problem. There's no enemy. If Germany and Europe and the rest of the world had pretended that Hitler did not exist, I guarantee you we would all be living in a much different reality, and I doubt it would be all that pleasant. And there would have been even more lives lost. There were so many lives lost because of this really deranged person who took a whole nation with him. So the big obstacles, and yet they overcame that. We overcame that obstacle. Okay, so honor the fact that your obstacle exists. Make sure you understand that it's there. Make sure you understand what it is. And then you can start to sort of deal with it. For me, the next thing that I dealt with after sort of getting counseling to sort of adjust to being shifted from my normal foundation, I decided that I would go back to school because I just couldn't see myself living my life as a disabled, that's it, I'm accepting the fact that I can't get around it. I refuse to do that. So I decided to go back to school. But one of the things with going back to school is I didn't want it to be a situation where I would start and stop and start and stop. I'd been doing that for many years of my life because of other people's issues and probably mine not really dealing with the obstacles that were going on inside my head, as in putting other people's issues before my own. And so I did decide to go back to school. I decided to do it online because I figured no matter what came up, I would be able to finish it. But I was also an adult returning to school. I can't remember how old I was at the time, but it was about almost 10 years ago, so I was around 40-something. And everything I was reading at the time kept talking about how people who go back to school as adults have a hard time with information. I remember reading how people who were adults and went back to school like myself that were older, slightly older or middle-aged adults, that they didn't retain information as well as the young bucks that are coming up in the world. And so I, on top of my other issues, then I had this new obstacle of being told that basically I wasn't going to remember everything and it was going to be really hard for me to get through school going back, but to just persevere, even though it's going to take me longer than probably someone else. And I would like to say another little quote from a very wise man about that, and that was from Gandhi. Gandhi said, "Always listen to experts. They'll tell you what can't be done and why. Then do it." And God bless him. That's exactly what I did. I hadn't read that quote at the time, but it didn't really matter. I just decided I was going to go for it with the school anyway. But I still had that nagging obstacle in my mind to the point where the first A that I got an A, and I couldn't believe it. And I thought there was something wrong with my instructor, or maybe he gave me someone else's grade by mistake. Somehow I had dreamt up all these crazy reasons why I shouldn't have gotten an A. And if you don't believe me, I've literally tracked down my teacher's phone number, and I contacted him at home, and it was the first time he and I had spoken at all. I didn't call him to ask about any assignment issues or anything, but I'm calling this guy after the class is over, and I'm asking him, did he make a mistake when he gave me an A for my class? Because, of course, I'm an adult learner, and my brains aren't as good as the young people, according to all this documentation. And the guy looked through he said, from my perspective, you did A work. He said, is there something else I can do for you? I mean, that man probably thought I was sheer crazy. When I told my sweetie what I had done, he completely went through the roof. It's like, don't you ever, as long as you live, call someone and ask them why or tell them that they were wrong in giving you an A. That is a manifestation of allowing the experts to tell you the way things are instead of trusting your own self. So I get into school. I get past the assault. I get to the point where I realize maybe it's okay for me to get A's. I mean, even though I'm an adult learner. And instead of listening to the people tell me I couldn't, I just listened to myself. And I graduated. I graduated with my BA. I finally got my undergraduate degree. And this is the person, you know, who was an adult learner and didn't know what the heck she was talking about, and she was always going to be slower than my younger compadres. I received the summa cum laude top honor. That's the top honor. And how does that happen if I'm such a, you know, older, slower thinking person? Well, because I suspect some of that documentation just wasn't valid, at least not for me. So then the next step is, my sweetie suggested going on to graduate school. Like, you're already a student. You're already doing without. You're a full-time student. You're not lavished in some kind of castle somewhere. But anyway, I wasn't really sure, but I thought, okay. I went ahead, his suggestion to just go ahead to graduate school. I didn't really think about the PhD. Mostly I was thinking about the master's, and it was after I started the master's that I started to realize that's not going to really help me if I want to practice psychology privately. And one of my goals is to, you know, work independently. I've already worked all my life under other people, and whether they did it right or not, I mean, it's just time to make my own way. I've been through all this stuff. So I decided that I was going to go ahead and go beyond the master's thing, but I didn't know that I had what it took because, again, here we go with the fears, the obstacles. I thought graduate work was going to be much tougher than undergraduate work, and people who are engaged in graduate work have got to be like super geniuses. Sorry. such a ridiculous thought, and it's such a ridiculous way that it's presented out in the world. I know everyone says things like, if anybody could do it, then anybody would. What they don't fill in the fact is, when if anybody could do it involves other factors, not just your brain, you know, has to do with your society allowing you to go forward, which is now one of the big problems in this country. But that's an obstacle that can be overcome. Hold on just a second. We have a caller coming in. I'm going to go ahead and see if they'd like to join in. If I can do
Hi.
The technology. Hello. How are you?
I'm good and clean.
Oh, good. And you smell clean. It looks good on you.
Thank you.
I won't even go into the obstacles about that.
Yes.
Well, you sound more refreshed too. Your
I
mind
am.
Sounds a little squeakier, cleaner than earlier. So,
yeah.
This is Lydia, everyone. I mean, she's a regular caller, and we thank her for that. So, I was just in the middle of talking about some of the obstacles, you know, that I encountered as I was coming up to where I'm at. And so I'm just going to continue. If you want to pop in, just, you know, pop in. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So after I get to graduate school and I'm thinking that I'm, you know, not really sure I can make the grade or whatever, miraculously I continued to get A's. Except when I started to doubt that was reality. And I would constantly tell my friends and family, I'm just terrified. I don't know if I'm going to pass this class. I just had really weird thoughts about everything, about how I was doing. And it, always somebody would say, oh, you're going to do just fine. Oh, I know you're going to get an A. My friend in Canada used to say that all the time, and she's got psychic ability, and I used to think she was nuts because I just thought, she doesn't know what kind of junk I'm putting through in school, and so she can't possibly know that I'm going to get an A. And then I would get an A. It was bizarre. The only time that I got a B is when I just convinced myself I couldn't get an A. For instance, statistics. Obstacle number one, the title, statistics. Everything you ever hear about statistics, unless you're like in the brainiac community, is it's difficult, it's hard, people didn't survive it, they flunked it, all kinds of horrible stuff. To me, if it's painful, I don't want to have to do it more than once. So that just wasn't an option for me, to have to flunk it and have to be, you know, tortured with it a second time, although I did have to take a second quarter. I missed that A by a number of points. I tutored everybody in my class practically, and they all got A's. And the reason is I didn't turn in all my assignments because I would just be so tired from tutoring other people and helping them with their assignments, and I'd look at the stuff for when it was time for me to look at my stuff. I'd think, I don't, you know, statistics, I don't know what I'm doing. Didn't make any sense. But I actually convinced myself that the obstacle was greater than me. And that's fear. I convinced myself that the fear was greater than my abilities. And I then get slapped again when I would find out that I was only like 3 or 4, maybe 5 points from an A, you know, which if I had turned in, you know, that assignment and I'd gotten the lowest grade possible, I would have still gotten an A. It's been a recurring theme in my mm-hmm. doubt, my fears with school, because of the beliefs that were handed down to me from society is, you know, getting top honors in school, that's practically impossible unless you're the smartest person on earth. You know, graduate school is only for the very smart, all that kind of crap, and it's just crap. And I made it. I got the master's degree. I moved on. I'm working on the PhD, And then there's this constant fear with the PhD, like the dissertation, quote unquote. And I was being hit with a few other things that I hadn't really known about. There's people with PhDs, ABD, and ABD means all but dissertation. That means people have done all the classes and work to get a PhD, except they did not present their dissertation. They may have worked on it for years, but they probably had one of the biggest obstacles that I keep talking about, and that's fear. They're probably too fearful to do what they needed to do to just finish. Sometimes it's good enough to just do. Don't have to be perfect. Doesn't require a Nobel Peace Prize for you to just finish. You know, that just running the race is sometimes how you win. But not running it means what? That you never get to that finish line. So here I was then presented with that, trying to get my dissertation together, and I encountered an advisor who was so, I don't know if the woman is just burnt out on school or what, but everything she said to me just terrified me 10 times more than I already was. She was meant to help alleviate my fears or help guide me, and she's saying everything like I'm going to lose my committee members, you're not going to be able to get this done. At one point, she even said that I wasn't supposed to be starting my dissertation until I was finished with all my classes and all my residencies, and that simply was not true. So the very next day after I contacted my committee person, who was going to be my committee person, he was just simply like, just give me this, and I will submit that, and we'll go from there. I gave him what he said. It was the most cursory amount of a premise. It was not a great drawn-out Nobel Peace Prize statement. It was just like, I want to work on this, and this is my topic. And he and the other committee member were approved the very next day. My premise was approved by the university. And, gee, I hadn't even finished the first residency. Wonder what the heck that one was talking about. But she doesn't really get it, that what she's doing is she's affecting people's lives by putting obstacles up that, you know, maybe they didn't even know were there. So hopefully they didn't have the kind of fears I had. Oh, we got another caller in. I apologize. Let me go ahead and bring her in. Hello, did you want to join the discussion?
Well, I'm here to listen, if nothing else.
Oh, okay. I was talking about you. Your ears must be ringing. Okay.
Why
that,
are you
ladies and gentlemen, is one of the persons who told me that I was going to get an A in classes that I just sure I was going to flunk. But she has these antennas. That's all I can say about her, and I'm always telling her she needs to put those things down because her little antennas start wiggling, and she's getting an information that I just think she needs to not get. But anyway, moving along.
I don't know if I like this, Lydia. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. You know, we don't want to hear things. Yeah, definitely. A lot of people don't hear things. Brenda, it's our stories. You know, you mentioned that you convinced yourself, and you had a whole story why you convinced yourself, and it's our stories. And to when we have friends that are psychic or intuitive, and they interrupt our stories, you know, some people get angry at those people, and some people will learn from them.
Well, I think
right?
Even if you get angry, I think you're going to learn.
Well,
I mean, I think you're going to see.
I agree.
I used to get angry with Nina when she'd say that. I used to be bothered. Like, you know, I didn't put it as strongly as I'm saying this, but I'm just thinking people just don't understand how that I'm screwing up. And then invariably I'd say, I can't believe it, I got an A.
Invariably. I remember.
And I would never tell you I told you so either, would I?
What are you doing right now, sweetie?
That's my point.
Well, it's about five.
And I'm feeling the love all the way through.
Well, you should, because you know what? You're one of the smartest people I know. And your self-doubt has really got to go out the window. That's a big obstacle, and I think it's a big obstacle for most people, the self-doubt creeping in.
Well, sure.
That doesn't need to be there.
Exactly.
I think we just need to... Yeah, we need to go forward, and even if we make a mistake, it's okay. We're learning from it. All obstacles, I think, are a learning curve. You either learn from it, or you stick your head in the sand and say, I can't do it.
Great assertion.
You know, we all have choices. Hopefully, we make the right one most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, every choice is the right one because you're moving. I mean, if you're moving forward or you're moving backward, you're still moving.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going anywhere, then you are absolutely your obstacle. But, you know, I believe, and Lydia talks about movement and activity all the time with whatever it is we choose to do or we're thinking, and I believe she's right. I mean, action is at the crux of all benefit, I believe. I don't believe we were born to be rocks. And even rocks move. Okay, so
yeah, they
everything
do.
Life is, and on this planet, is about movement. Is about movement. I don't care if you're a quadriplegic. You're moving somewhere. In your mind, something, somehow. So, but here is a huge boulder that we often think is impenetrable or immovable, and that quite simply is not the case. Whether you blow it up, or you surmount it, or you navigate around it, every obstacle we can get by, we do need to just move. And it really does start in our heads, as Nina was telling us. It really does start in our heads. And basically here I am, through all those obstacles, the assaults and the weird thoughts and the fear and the nasty advisor and all that kind of stuff. Even now, I still have a lot of, you know, it's the first week of the dissertation, it's the first week of the last class of the PhD, and I've got a lot of work, and I'm trying to do it. I've had other emotional things going on, but I'm more optimistic than I've been in a very long time. And I believe that this is the brilliance that I'm talking about, is this understanding that it's within you to get through that stuff. And not trying to get through that just doesn't make any sense. It didn't amount to a hill of beans, quite honestly. It just does not. And let's see. I got another quote in here. Where is it? This one, we all know. Well, if it can be thought, it can be done, a problem can be overcome. That's just all there is to it. And we all hear this one. If God closes a door and a window, consider the fact that it might be time to build a whole new house. You know, it's think outside the box. If I chose to completely quit graduate school, does it mean that my life would be over? Would that be an obstacle? Yes. Might be a big obstacle as far as what I want to do with my career, but it wouldn't be an obstacle to my life. It might be an obstacle to my life, but the point is I can still get around it. I just need to accept the fact that fear, i.e. obstacles, i.e. what was it that you said, Nina? You said it, a learning. It's a learning moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not something to stop anyone, and I don't think it was ever meant to be so. There's some steps that you can take to overcoming obstacles. One of the people that I referred to on here is a woman named Becky Curran. She wrote this up, these steps, and you can find it on Maria Shriver's blog. It's called 6 Tips for Overcoming Any Obstacle in your Life. Now, she talks about her life, that she was born in a I'm going to try to pronounce it correctly, but I'm pretty sure I'm close. It's an achondroplastic dwarf is what she said that they addressed. And that was 27 years ago. She had all these different issues to overcome. But she just continued to move forward. She didn't allow that obstacle to stop her. And what are I'll list the steps real quickly for you. She said, stay focused on the positive instead of the negative. Oh, boy. Who can relate to that? Come on.
Yeah,
Everyone.
You're kidding. And then she says, don't ever give up. God. I'm always trying to give up. I'm thinking something's got to be easier than this. Where is the job where I just sit on my fat butt and watch TV all day? I mean, where is that job? And how come I can't find it?
Well, I'd like someone to pay me for being wonderful. I don't really care about watching TV all day. I mean, they should just pay me for being on the planet.
Oh, and somebody should pay me for playing with kids all day. Oh, wait, they do.
Good one.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Nina. Maybe they don't pay you as much as you're worth, my dear, but they're paying you something. They're probably no one who could afford to pay you what you're worth for what you do.
Well, my parents are the first to admit that they don't pay me enough, but they also can't afford to pay me more. So I would rather look after their kids for less money than not have them here.
Oh. Absolute love. See, love. She's just breaking down. She's just exploding off the obstacles right there. Challenge yourself and try new things every day. Okay, Lydia, that one's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is because you've been going through a lot of challenges from day one of this year. And you've been rising and meeting those occasions and moving forward.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I was just writing things down. I challenged myself earlier this year to take a class and to not do what I know how to do. And that was very challenging. In fact, today I want to get in the studio and try something that I've never done before. That's something that I'm going to do.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah, it's like trying a new recipe that people say is difficult. Yeah. It's easier for me to do with cooking than it is in school for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Well, Cassandra's doing her stats right now, and man, she's struggling with that too. She just does not like that course. So yeah, there's
which
her
course?
Obstacle to get over. She's on the first
which
part of it.
Which course?
Her stats.
Which course?
Statistics.
Oh
baby.
Tell
Cassandra to listen. Tell her this stuff is easier than they say it is. Just go by their broken parts and keep them separate, and then see how they string together. But that course is easier than they say it is. When I think
she is struggling.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's something that they tell us that we'll do. We'll struggle. I mean, everybody meets us with that. They hit us with that. And I know when I look at statistics stuff, I actually want to take another statistics course just because I just want to see how easy it is. Because when I look back at what I learned, I realize that it's just like the baby steps Lydia talked about. It's just one foot in front of the other, and that's it. That's really all it is.
Oh, I know. But she's young, so she's kind of balking it. And I told her, all you can do is, like I tell you every day, have the best day you can. Do the best you can.
Yeah.
That's all anybody expects from you, so just do it. But
yeah,
Grandma...
Well, we know she's she definitely on these steps. And then Becky said that every day you should ask yourself if you're happy. Now, this is not one I've heard before, but I like it. I really do. Yeah, she said in here, she said, if there's something that's making you unhappy, you should find a way to make change. I find myself unhappy whenever I'm surrounded by negative people. Now I'm more cautious of the people with whom I surround myself. Brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. You can check out these steps, by the way, folks, if you follow the link to this show, the link to this particular write-up of the steps that Becky Curran wrote on and Maria Shriver's blog is there, so you can link to it from there. She also says smile. Step five is smile. And I know that Cassandra, I was going to call her Cassie, but I know that Cassandra smiles every day.
She's a beautiful smile.
She's a beautiful smile.
Nina,
you smile, but you don't always appear like you're smiling. But I hear your laughter a lot, but you sometimes, you're so motherly sometimes. You're just sort of like the authoritarian. But I know you smile because you've got Porky Pig.
I'm always smiling or laughing. You have to. Without that smile, without that laughter, then you're not allowing yourself to really live and to really love. You need to smile. You need to feel joy. You need to have that smile, to have that laughter.
I love the idea of a smile actually helping to erode your obstacles. What a great thought.
Yeah, I think it does. I think that one thing I notice is when I'm driving in the car and I look around, people not smiling, and I realize I'm probably not smiling either. So I start grinning like a Cheshire cat, as my mother would say. And I just start smiling, and sometimes people will look at me, and then they smile too. And it's nice. I like it.
What an infection to spread among the people, a smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very nice.
Well, we go through our lives. You know, we go through our lives, say we're alone and we're going to the store to shop, and we're not smiling on the way. We're thinking a million things, and then we go to the store, and we're kind of trying to find what we're looking. We're all looking kind of serious. And I think we all look better with we all appear to look better with a smile. I just think it's our best asset is if we smile.
I agree.
I've been really conscious of that. I've been really conscious of that, especially since I'm getting older. I just feel like I need to smile more. I want to smile more. I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm unconscious of it, but most of the time I think I smile. It's just I think one of the things I love about old curmudgeon kind of coots and stuff like my grandfather and my dad, people who seem to be like Oscar on Sesame Street, I just have a real affinity for them because I know deep down, no matter how tragic things have been in your life, there's just not really any reason for you to always be angry. You might be sad about some, horrible events. You might be mad about some treatment. But that doesn't have to take over your entire life. So I mean, I could give a reason to anybody who's got just all kinds of reasons to be curmudgeonly why they don't have to be. So I tend to think, and maybe it's because of my grandfather, I tend to think when people are being curmudgeonly that they're not serious. They probably don't appreciate the fact that I don't take it seriously. And
oh, yeah.
I adore people who seem real curmudgeonly. I have a real warm, loving feeling towards all of them. Like, I just can't wait to hear. You know, I think it's like this great act, I guess. So, I apologize if I've laughed at you when you were snapping at me. But, anyway, let's get to the last step. The last step, she says, don't compare yourself to others. And find time to celebrate your little accomplishments.
Yeah.
Come on, if those aren't the best steps overcoming obstacles, I just don't know what they are. They are some of the best steps. Brilliant, brilliant writing by this young lady named Becky Curran. And I believe that we all do that. We just need to remember to always do that. Including myself. Because I get through this first week and I'm still kind of like with my head cut off. But I don't feel as terrified for some strange reason. That and the fact that I've gotten quite a bit of sleep, huh?
Yay!
Yay is right.
Yay. Oh. We like it. We get sleep and when you realize that sometimes we're our own obstacle.
Yeah. I think that I'm doing quite well to be at this state of feeling with the last part of last year and the beginning part of this year. February was one heck of a hoot. It was one heck of a hoot. It was a month without new moons, and I'm telling you, I could have used that power last month, but I'm going to take the extra power afforded me this month with two new moons, and I'm gonna kick ass and take names and whatever the heck I feel like doing, I guess. But obstacles, you know, fear, forget about it. You know, you're going to the back of the line. So,
yep.
Anybody else have any suggestions or anything they would like to discuss or suggest for obstacles? No?
I think what Nina said was so right is the learning curve. You know, that it's all a learning curve and the obstacles are there to teach us. And to, you know, all the steps that you talked about from the other lady and your own. In fact, I think this is tweet-worthy. I wrote this down, and I think I'm going to tweet it with your name on it, Brenda. And that is, if you're not going anywhere, you are your obstacle.
Oh. Hey.
I thought that was
good. Thank you.
I like it. Yeah. I'll credit you with
that. I like
that,
too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel so honored.
I think we should all have pins made up that say that.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yes.
That is
sure. And I think everybody should, it definitely should be out there for everybody to see. Do something about that, would you?
Yeah.
Thank you. If you tweet that, then I'll tweet it from you. If I think you're on my tweet.
No.
I'll retweet it. If you tweet it.
Okay.
Okay.
You guys just go right ahead and tweet away. I don't do that thing.
I didn't either, but then I found out that it can be a tool that, you know, and I don't do it very often, but I think this is tweet-worthy. So then people will go, who's Brenda Berry? And
but make sure you put the doctor in there.
Yeah. Yes, not yet. I could put Dr. B, I guess.
Dr. 2B. Dr. 2B, Brenda Berry. But, yeah, so, but I'm just honored that you would say such a thing. I thank you, ladies, for coming on and joining me with the show. I really appreciate your support. And even more importantly, I appreciate the love that you always give and the love that you give out to so many people in your lives. You are some of the most awesome people I've ever met in my entire life. And with that, thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you, Brenda. Good
you
show.
For having us. Great show. I needed to hear it.
Okay, sweetie. Take care. I'll talk to you all next week in the new show, and what we're doing will be up in the next few days. So join us next week. Whatever we're going to be talking about, I know it'll be about brilliance. Next Tuesday at 11 o'clock, everyone. BYO Brilliance, because it's in you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.